for having me. The previous speaker, I don't know the name yet, Jeremy. Yes. Has spoken a lot about data, about new technologies, and I do believe we have a big responsibility to build them up rightly. And therefore, I'm very happy that I can share a story about IT and money as new utilities. The last message is the most important message, but before arriving there, I have four stops. I want to ask, what are the foundations of an IT infrastructure? Secondly, I want to ask, why money is important? Why is money an important question right now? Thirdly, I want to ask ourselves if we have new tools, and we have new tools, what are we gonna do it with them? I do believe that we have to imagine IT and money as a new kind of utilities. So we have to build them up, and our task is far easier than our ancestors had. That is something I want to let show by an example. And before we will arrive there, I will first come to the building blocks of an IT infrastructure. The building blocks of an IT infrastructure are hardware, software, and data. Not more than that. Hardware, software, data. Hardware is the bare metal where the compute capacity is, where the storage capacity is. In the software, we are building up the new rules, the algorithms, and what will transport that information infrastructure? It transports data. So data is transported by an information infrastructure that is built up by hardware and by software. And if we do think about the word infrastructure, then the Cambridge Dictionary said, an infrastructure is a basic system and service such as transport and power supplies that a country or organization uses in order to work effectively. So, if the information infrastructure does transport data from one place to another place, then we have asked ourselves, what is the information needed to organize ourselves? So, philosophers has to stand up, because that depends on the context. Data in one context is just raw material. In another context, it is information or knowledge. And therefore, it is very important that we now, these days, make up our mind, and that we now, these days, will choose and have to choose for a neutral infrastructure, for an infrastructure that is available, and an infrastructure that is green. I will come back to this because it's very important, the neutrality.
Are you going to explain what that means, neutral, green?
Yeah. I come back to that, or I will already tip what is neutrality about. If data is transported by the new information infrastructure, then we, people, has to decide what is the information we need out of that data. And it's the people, it are governments, it is civic societies, it are entrepreneurs that has to choose what they need for themselves, and it's not upon the providers of the technical infrastructure. So we as people need to organize these days the ability to choose the information and the knowledge we want to attract to us, thanks to the information, to the organization of data and infrastructure, so it is neutral for the infrastructure builders, and it is not neutral, but it is for the leaderships of the organizations building up their organizations that they can choose up what they need out of that infrastructure. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Neutrality, it's very important. It has to be available. And it would be very stupid if we won't make the technology available for every single person, because it doesn't cost us anything. We have just to do it. And green, of course, how can you build something up that is not as green as possible? So building up the new digital infrastructure is our duty. It has to be neutral, available, and green. So we have also to think who has to build it up. And we are used to think that it is national states that has to provide us utilities. But our challenges are global, and the digital infrastructure don't have national boundaries. So new commonalities has to be built up and are building up these days. These days, I'm very proud to be a European, because the Europeans are taking up a leading role in data ethics, thanks to the GDPR. And we are complementing it with new commonalities, like governments are commonalities, and where we share our rules that provide balance within society, we can now build up foundations where parties come together and build up new utilities. I have two examples where I'm connected to. That's Economics Foundations and Threefold Foundations.
Could you just explain GDPR for everybody? What might
not
be a term that is?
Who hasn't heard about GDPR?
Obviously,
emails. Yeah.
Lots of them.
It's the latest
one. My mailbox is full.
Yes.
Mine is empty because I've deleted them all.
Voila. I do think it's very important, and I'm very proud of it, because other continents are looking at Europe. When Mark Zuckerberg, yes, in the Senate, the senators were pointing also to more rules, and they were pointing to the GDPR in Europe. In China, it are governments that are now building up the infrastructure. Is it neutral? I do think we are underpinning with the GDPR European values, where I'm very proud of. And therefore is also that neutrality very important, that we can build up our communities that are needed to informatize, to digitize further. But why need money our special attention? Design of money does matter. Is that something new for someone of you? I wouldn't have been in this innovation space when I haven't read this book in 2000. Het Veld van de Toekomst, that's my language. And it is translated, the future of money, a new way to create wealth, work, and a wiser world. Mm-hmm. It is written by Bernard Lietard in 2000, and he's explaining the relationship between how money systems are organized and how society are societies operate. I was really struck by this book. And another fact that's going on is the blockchain. Who has heard about blockchain already?
Yep.
Yes. So the first thing is the fact that money systems do matter. The second thing is that blockchain is giving us an opportunity. I came in this field because I was an entrepreneur in a recruitment business. I was connecting personal data to opportunities. I do think one of the first people in my country that was thinking about data privacy and the opportunities that data privacy brings with us. But it was very difficult to open up a conversation. And after the financial crisis, and after the fact that I have worked together with the financier not so successfully to organize an open innovation, I bought my ticket and to list just my passions. And I connected myself, for example, with Wikonomics. And that was a quote that Paul Bessems shared. And Paul Bessems is the founder of Wikonomics. And the quote said, "The study of economic organization commonly proceeds as through market and administrative modes of organization were disjunct. Market organization is a province of economists. Internal organization is the concern of the organization theory specialist, and never the twain shall meet." The never is a problem. The never has to be challenged. Yes. The never is challenged. Therefore, I'm also here. I do like the thoughts of Frederic Laloux, for example, but the self-management is not something that is organized yet in the digital infrastructure, and we have to organize it. And if we talk about self-management in organizations, then we have also to talk about self-management in the digital infrastructure, in the way that data is going from one place to another place. So now we have fiat money. Yes, that's the money we use today. The financial system is already digitized, and we just digitized the old system. What are the features of fiat money? Fiat money is related first to states. It has an aspect of interests, and it is produced by banks. Now, that fiat money don't fit to pay our social care. If we become more productive thanks to technology, what I do believe, we can't pay social care with the money system we have. We have to invent new money, and that's possible. Our current fiat money system doesn't favor the environmental challenges we have. So we use fiat money, we are used to it, it doesn't serve us anymore. We have to leave it. And as I said, blockchain is showing that money hasn't to be created by national states. Bitcoin, is that for someone new? Yes, you know it? You know what Bitcoin is? Yes? I'm connected to Threefold Foundations and Threefold Token. It's also a cryptocurrency. But as also said by the previous speaker, a fool with a tool is still a fool. So we have that opportunity of information structures. We have that opportunity to rebuild our money systems. What are we going to build? Because it is no. First, people invent tools, and afterwards, they adapt to these tools. So let's first ask ourselves, what do we want? And we know what our challenges are. Our challenges are inclusivity and care of the earth. We all know that, and we are not stupid as human beings. We are not stupid because we are already adapted. We are adapting ourselves to a circular economy. It's an economy where raw material is used as much as possible and reused again. We only take material for the time that is needed and we bring it back to the system. Car sharing is coming up in a functional economy. In a bio-based economy, we are conscious about what we choose as raw material in our products. In a collaborative economy, we are working together to produce things. Consumers and producers are connecting themselves. In a sharing economy, we share our products and we are also able to produce by ourselves the new stuff thanks to, for example, the printing of things that's possible. And the new utilities are out there and they will scale this new model. And what are these new utilities? It is the infrastructure where there is a personal data service and an Internet of Things, and we have token money or the cryptocurrencies. So every single person needs to have an own personal data service. With that service, it connects itself to the goods and the working collaborations that is needed to live and to thrive. And we can organize in the information infrastructure new money systems, and they are getting organized. It's happening right now. So economics is happening, new utilities that can scale the new economics is out there. So the chicken and egg problem is getting solved. We have to go faster, and I hope fast enough.
We'll be the first in the world.
And happily, I'm not the only one. So it is a process. It will never end. It can't be statistic. The algorithms can't be programmed for every single case. So neutrality is very important within the infrastructure so that the agents in economy can exchange data between themselves to get themselves organized. That freedom of exchange is very important, and therefore we need neutrality. Every single person needs a PDS or a personal data service to connect himself to goods and services and knowledge that is provided by the information infrastructure, and we can't exclude nobody. It has to be available. And what does that mean? It has to be affordable because of low costs. And it is happening now. It is distributed now. And if we speak about availability, it's also to be aware of the fact that every single person needs its own wallet. Every single person has to be part of that new economical system if they want to be it. It has to be green. Therefore, it has to use minimal energy. It has to support the new models. And I have put it to economics and threefold there, because that are commonalities that are bringing the new organizational ideas together with the technology, and they are now getting further. So anyway, there is a fork in the road, and we have a simple task. A simple task, if you do compare it to infrastructures that are built in earlier times. And I will show an example.
It was the dawn of 1863, and London's not yet opened subway system, the first of its kind in the world, had the city in an uproar. Digging a hole under the city and putting a railroad in it seemed the stuff of dreams. Pub drinkers scoffed at the idea, and a local minister accused the railway company of trying to break into hell. Most people simply thought the project, which cost more than $100 million in today's money, would never work. But it did. On January 10th, 1863, 30,000 people ventured underground to travel on the world's first subway on a four-mile stretch of line in London. After 3 years of construction and a few setbacks, the Metropolitan Railway was ready for business. The city's officials were much relieved. They'd been desperate to find a way to reduce the terrible congestion on the roads. London, at the time the world's largest and most prosperous city, was in a permanent state of gridlock, with carts, costermongers, cows, and commuters jamming the roads. It had been a Victorian visionary, Charles Pearson, who first thought of putting railways under the ground. He'd lobbied for underground trains throughout the 1840s, but opponents thought the idea was impractical, since the railroads at the time only had short tunnels under hills. How could you get a railway through the center of a city? The answer was a simple system called cut and cover. Workers had to dig a huge trench, construct a tunnel out of brick archways, and then refill the hole over the newly built tunnel. Because this was disruptive and required the demolition of buildings above the tunnels, most of the line went under existing roads. Of course, there were accidents. On one occasion, a heavy rainstorm flooded the nearby sewers and burst through the excavation, delaying the project by several months. But as soon as the Metropolitan Railway opened, Londoners rushed in to ride the new trains. The Metropolitan quickly became a vital part of London's transport system. Additional lines were soon built, and new suburbs grew around the stations. Big department stores opened next to the railroad, and the railway company even created attractions, like a 30-story Ferris wheel in Earl's Court, to bring in tourists by train. Within 30 years, London's subway system covered 80 kilometers, with lines in the center of town running in tunnels, and suburban trains operating on the surface, often on embankments. But London was still growing, and everyone wanted to be connected to the system. By the late 1880s, the city had become too dense with buildings, sewers, and electric cables for the cut-and-cover technique, so a new system had to be devised. Using a machine called the Great Head Shield, a team of just 12 workers could bore through the earth, carving deep underground tunnels through the London clay. These new lines, called tubes, were at varying depths, but usually about 25 meters deeper than the cut-and-cover lines. This meant their construction didn't disturb the surface, and it was possible to dig under buildings. The first tube line, the City and South London, opened in 1890 and proved so successful that half a dozen more lines were built in the next 20 years. This clever new technology was even used to burrow several lines under London's river, the Thames. By the early 20th century, Budapest, Berlin, Paris, and New York had all built subways of their own. And today, with more than 160 cities in 55 countries using underground rails to combat congestion, we can thank Charles Pearson and the Metropolitan Railway for getting us started on the right track. When we make lessons about the innovations that have changed the world, we often wonder, what's next?
About that question, what's next? Then it is, we have to be mindful and to know that it is rather easy for us to build up that new information technology, that every single person has to be engaged in that development. I don't believe that every single person has to be aware about it, because there is a building up opportunity that wasn't there when the London Metro has to be built. First, if you do see how the innovation worked, there was an idea. A lot of money that was needed. The person with that idea networked a lot. There was city life, and they had to build something under the city that was alive. There was technology. Hard work was needed, but the metro was out there. Okay. The metro was out there, and they need campaigns. They need campaigns. Please use our metro system. After all that money was collected, all that risk was taken, that's the way we have built up our previous cooperation. So it's not difficult to imagine how it comes that the economy is bubbling. And now innovation is about networking. It's about innovating in a network-centric way. For example, for Threefold Foundation, every single person can buy some hardware, can earn by it, can put it in on the grid, and can start up his own project. I had a last minute message, but I don't know if there is still time. Yeah? So, will I do it?
She said, she said if you could finish it.
Yeah. No, I really want to ask everybody to be aware of this innovation space, to start learning about it. But
start closer.
Always.
Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question, with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. wait until that voice becomes a private ear that can really listen, that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in. The step you don't want to take.
I would say thank you.